Like call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council is called to order 6 p.m. Tuesday, May 28, 2024. I'll ask Councilman Tungo to read our mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Mr. Tungo?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. Councilman Nicholson is excused. And we do have a quorum. Please join us as I ask Councilman Longo to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. Recognition of visitors this evening. I've got OCE. Please stand when I call your name. Jen Danis, site supervisor for OCE this season. Also, we have Tiffany Angus, the lead scientist with OCE. We have a motion. Thank you very much, and welcome to Chambers, all of you. I see a big family back there. There you go, Milo. Okay, now we'll request a motion to amend the agenda to insert the recognition of the fire department and PCR, and there will be a presentation of a certificate of appreciation. Also, to remove the executive session, item 16A.
I'll move to amend the agenda as written by you, said by you, as stated. Thank you.
I second.
Okay, moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungo. Any discussion? Hearing none, will all in favor of the amendment to amend the agenda? Say aye.
Aye.
Without objection, the amendment is approved. Okay. Oh, we got no. Move to orders. Oh, it's after the. Next item is the awards and presentation. At this time, we'll honor the 10-year employment and anniversary of Malatuma Tole. City Employment Anniversary, Mr. Tole, Department of Public Works, 10 years, and go down there. It was after that party. Oh, welcome. Come on up, Molo. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in congratulating Malo Tule and his 10th anniversary with the City of Unalaska. Malo's journey began on May 27, 2014 as a light equipment mechanic with the Streets and Roads Division. His skills and dedication quickly became apparent, leading to a well-deserved promotion to medium equipment operator within just 5 months. Malo's expertise continued to grow, and in 2020, He was promoted again to the position of heavy equipment operator, a role he continues to excel in today. Mahalo, we deeply appreciate your hard work, positive attitude, and commitment to the city of Unalaska. Please accept this plaque and pin as a token of our gratitude for 10 years of outstanding service. Congratulations on this remarkable milestone.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for the mayor, city council, for your service. It's a blessing for me, and it's an honor to be here and serve our city. And it really helps my family. Thank you.
You want them to get a picture with you? You can get, come on up. We can get a picture.
Come on. I've got a couple words.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna, sure. After he's done.
Sorry. Oops. Hopefully, we don't got too many going here. I just wanted to have a couple quick words from Mahalo as well. We are here to celebrate a significant milestone with Mahalo's 10th anniversary within the City of Unalaska Public Works Road Crew. For the past decade, Mahalo has been a cornerstone of our community's infrastructure. His commitment and hard work have kept him, have kept our roads safe and functional regardless of the harsh weather. From early mornings, weekends of snow plowing and late night repair, Mahalo's dedication and resilience are truly inspiring. Mahalo is not just a reliable worker, but he's also a mentor, a dependable colleague, and a friendly face in our community. His understanding of our local environment and infrastructure has been invaluable. His leadership and example have helped to foster a culture of excellence within our roads crew department team. Throughout the many changes in the last decade in Unalaska, Mahalo's unwavering dedication has ensured our communities continued to thrive today. We honor his past achievements and look forward to his future contributions. Mahalo, on behalf of the entire community of Unalaska and Dutch Harbor, we thank you for your hard work, and we deeply appreciate everything you do. Congratulations for 10-year anniversary, and to many more successful years in the future. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Want to get your family up here with the picture? You're welcome to do that. One up,
Paul
has been a great part of our crew and appreciate all the hard work. Good job. Okay, next we have, wait, everybody settles in. Thank you. Next, I've got the Eagle View Elementary principal to present a certificate of appreciation to PCR department and the fire EMS department.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I wanted to just take a moment to say how thankful I am to the city for always supporting the school district. Oh, sorry, I'm short. In addition to making sure we're fully funded, your people find ways to volunteer and create multiple positive interactions with our students on a regular basis. When we call, you answer. And I cannot say thank you enough. And I wish I had certificates and appreciation for everyone, for everything they do for, you know, on a daily basis. But I just have a few little things to recognize tonight. I wanted to personally thank the Unalaska Fire Department in recognition for your weekly visits reading with our preschool students and your lunch help afterwards. That's always fun. The PCR, in recognition of your consistent support in ensuring all students at Eaglesview Elementary have access to swimming lessons, in recognition of your consistent support in ensuring all students also, oops, sorry, I'll have to fix this. I made a mistake. that we're able to use your van for our preschool runs, getting our kids home in the afternoons. Then once again, the preschool PCR, when we call, you answer. No matter what crazy ideas I come up with, Jolene says we'll find a way to make it happen. So I appreciate that. And I know Teddy's not here, but I did have one for Teddy, just for his constant commitment to our children. He's there in the mornings to greet them when he can be, always setting forth that positive role model that police are to be trusted and helpful. And that's very important in today's world.
It would be an honor to accept this for Teddy and make sure that he gets it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you for mending me in. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. And we appreciate the recognition. Hardworking group of people you mentioned, PCR, the EMTs. They deserve, and also Officer Teddy. Understand he'll be leaving the force and appreciate his duty to the community. Thank you. Okay. Moving on, we'll move on to, I have a proclamation declaring June 24 as a Workplace Safety Awareness Month. Whereas the National Safety Council designates each June as a National Safety Month to promote and encourage health and safety in the workplace and communities. Whereas the City of Unalaska is a city of industry comprised of diverse businesses and workplaces. And whereas many accidents in the workplace are preventable, and implementing health and safety program is vital to the employee's safety and can improve business operations and performance, which contributes to the local economy. Whereas the workplace safety requires the cooperation of employees, businesses, and all levels of government, as well as the community. Whereas promoting workplace safety and health practices in Unalaska businesses are endeavors worthy of support for the City of Unalaska. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Sr., Mayor of City of Unalaska, hereby announce and proclaim all businesses and citizens that on June 1 through the 30th of 2024 is a Workplace Safety Awareness Month, and all businesses and citizens are encouraged to encourage safe and healthy workplace environment, dated this day, 28th of May, 2024. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
I move to adopt the agenda as amended.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Longo. Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. The agenda is adopted. We have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of May 14, 2024.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of May 14, 2024.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Longo. There is any objections to the approval of these minutes? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. We're now on item 9, reports, the April financials. I'll turn this over to City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So the monthly financials are in your packets. And if you just turn your attention to, I think it's packet page number 8, you can see the summary as we have what the numbers are in for April, that we budgeted total general fund revenues. We budgeted $35 million. To date, we've collected $43 million. And our expenditures, we budgeted $32 million, and we've expensed $23 million, or just about 72% of the whole budget. We'll go through other little items, but I'd rather leave it for you if you have questions about the budget that maybe I can answer, or Patricia Soule, our finance director, is in attendance and she can help. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions from council? Council members? Yeah. On the financials. Next, we've got the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to city manager.
Thank you again. So you can see we are undergoing some employee training. So our admin department has been putting on training for harassment, bullying, and discrimination, CPR and first aid, and OSHA training. We also have our city clerk and staff are undergoing training with the Northwest Clerks Institute. Our ports department put on the Kids Don't Float initiative on May 16th. And our fire department responded to a grass fire about 2 weekends ago. And I have a few other items that I thought of post putting this together last week. I attended the Sustainable Energy Conference last week, and it was very interesting, I have to say. I spoke with three existing cooperatives, including Chugach, Matanuska, and Homer. Talked to several, high-profile entities like Sandia Laboratories out of New Mexico. These are some people that we've never actually approached for assistance, and they have free technical assistance on projects like geothermal. So, and even drilling experts were there. So it was pretty eye-opening for me. We also met with our power consultant, EPS, to kind of hone in on exactly what we're looking for with our, what I call the gap between what our power shortage is as we're working with our other producers. And I would like to say that we have had 2 meetings, one each with the processors that are power producers. And that went well, and they're all in agreement that we continue to move forward. And the RFP for this year's, it's a 3-year contract, I believe, for the internet contract has been issued. So we'll see how that comes in. And I know Information Services worked with our legal counsel to prepare that. So any questions on my report, I'm happy to try and answer that.
Okay, well, thank you. And I was, as the mayor was supposed to attend that energy conference, was called on a last minute invite by Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski, and Representative Poletta. But Poletta, I should say it the other way because of the bill she put in, but that's fine. Anyways, I did attend. I left Anchorage on the 21st. Got to Washington on the 22nd. We had a discussion with our lobbyists. We also had a couple of meetings with Senator Sullivan and Murkowski and Poletta to discuss the meeting on the 23rd, which was a key meeting regarding the seafood industry roundtable with Secretary of Raimondo and the Department of Commerce. The main issue that it was brought forward was the crash of the industries fish product that was leaving the state of Alaska, being processed and not being competitive. The main issue being the Russians, fish being caught. Fish caught by Russia was transferred to China and other countries, and then sold on a U.S. market as Alaska fish. We've requested urgent meetings and recommendations that we gave the Secretary of Commerce was that we need to close the loopholes regarding any of this kind of activity by Russia. As part of my representation, along with Alvin Osterbach, mayor of Eastborough, we're the only two mayors present in that meeting other than, and we had industry representatives, approximately eight other industry representatives in Alaska that fish have and process fish. We gave individual accounts of the impact to the communities. On Alaska being the largest fishing port in the United States by volume, Sandpoint is representative of six other communities in the Eastborough. Right now they have a crisis going on in King Cove. When Peter Pan sold out, they will not have a processing plant. They will not have a salmon season. And right now they don't have a crab season. And so they're in real dire need as Eastborough. Trident should close their plants in two locations within Eastborough. Within the last year and a half, there's been six canneries that have closed down in our region. And that's the beginning of a tough time for a community of Unalaska. My comments to the Secretary of Commerce were that we need help. We need it soon. Unlike some communities, we do have some revenues, but it's not going to carry us very long before we start to feel the impact in this community. I did mention that the school district, and we're not the only one, as it comes out to say, is that four school districts had to close within the Eastborough. We have two right now. They're hanging on with just one vote, one person, one child, keeping those schools open. This impact will affect Unalaska and businesses, small businesses that are dependent on the fishing industry. Our revenues is fish tax. We are a fish community. And I relied heavily on the issue that if we do not get help soon, Russian fish will be in everybody's plate. It won't be long. So that meeting lasted approximately 2 hours, and we went into a meeting separately with eight agencies in the federal government, talking. They all were interested and were not aware of the whole situation. They really weren't. They are so far from here that in Alaska that they did not understand. After 2.5 hours meeting with this group, we went into another meeting with Senator Stevens, Senator Sullivan, and also Senator Murkowski. Laid out a plan that we'll be presenting to the Secretary of Commerce within the next couple of weeks. And then there'll be a follow-up meeting sometime in the end of July or August to implement a strategy to put in into our rules and regulations on fishing and commerce that we hope will benefit the United States and especially Alaska. So there'll be more to come as we move on this issue. I know that meeting was impromptu, basically, and was an emergency meeting. I was prepared enough with our lobbyists to understand, to know the situation anyways, but it was very informative for the people that we met with to give them an understanding of where what we do here in Unalaska and what the other communities do for the state of Alaska to bring fish onto the market. So more to come later, and I'll keep the community and also the council informed of any dates of any further meetings. Possibly having something happen here is not off the table, but we will see where we go from here. Thank you for letting me speak on that issue, which I think is very important to this community. All right, where am I? Board of Commission minutes for information only. There'll be no presentation. It's a Parks, Culture, and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting. Minutes of April 15th are also enclosed in our board packet. This time, item 10 is community input and announcement. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, this is the Deputy City Clerk Alicia reading a statement from Susie Golodoff. Dear Mayor and City Council, thank you for this opportunity to present a community concern regarding loose dogs on public property and a petition signed by Unalaska residents. I meant to come to you in person, but may miss that chance, so please accept this as presented by the city clerk. Her petition reads, Unalaska residents are being bitten by dogs, chased by dogs, and scared away from public areas by the presence of loose dogs on a daily basis. Many people are now so frightened by experiences with loose dogs in Unalaska, they no longer feel safe outdoors. People are pushed out of places they used to frequent. Predictably, as time has passed, dog owners have become entitled and loose dogs have become an acceptable thing. Nearly every dog owner will claim the same thing. My dog won't bite. My dog is friendly. My dog comes when I call it. But the truth? Public safety is well aware of continuous and serious incidents of people being bitten on public lands and on Unalaska Corporation land, which is private land open to public use by permit only. Responsible owners who are keeping their dogs leashed are being attacked. This week, a leashed dog was ripped to shreds and killed by 3 loose Malamutes, and the owner of the leashed dog was badly bitten. Whole families are being traumatized because dogfights are happening in our city parks and playgrounds. Our children and our elders are especially vulnerable. Tragically, children in Alaskan villages have been killed by loose dogs, and unleashed dogs can become dangerous very quickly. That's the petition. She's got several signatures and copies for you as if you would like to see it. The last paragraph of her letter to you is, I'm not here to lay blame on anyone, but to open a badly needed conversation. I believe that our past loose interpretation of the current leash law allowing so-called voice control is no longer viable. I believe the community is ready and imploring the city to take a responsible stance on behalf of our safety. Until we get a dog park where loose dogs can be allowed off the leash, please do something to protect us on public lands we love and share and should have a right to feel safe on. Thank you so much for your time and for listening, Susie Golodoff.
Does the city clerk have the copy of that? Okay.
Yes, Mayor, and I can provide copies to each council members.
Okay, thank you. Hold on. Is there anyone else in chambers wish to speak? Councilman?
Mayor, go ahead. On behalf of FewSafe, Lynn had asked me if I could invite folks to celebrate Pride. That will be on Friday, June 7th. 2024 from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. at the Unalaska High School parking lot across from the Burma Road Chapel. So join us in celebrating our LGBTQ2S plus families, friends, and community. So there's going to be food, fun, and friendship and family. So this event is all about love. And if you have questions, please call USAFE at 907-581-1500.
Thank you. Councilman Tungle with some information.
I just want to extend our condolences to the Wheaton family. Paul Wheaton passed away last week, and a longtime resident, lifetime resident of Unalaska, who has been a big property owner in this community, and been a big support of this community. His whole livelihood was in this community. So we want to extend our condolences to the Wheaton family. He will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's on any information you might have on any kind of ceremony, please let us know. Thank you. Councilman Luby.
So my understanding is they're going to have a service in Washington, June 8th, I believe. And then they're, I'm not exactly sure if it's the 8th, but I think it is around the June 8th. And then they're going to have a service here in July for the community here. So most of the family members are down in Bellingham right now. So anyway, so we'll have something here come July. So just so everybody knows.
Okay, thank you very much. And personal condolences to the family. Thanks. All right. Any further? Anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No one indicated, sir, that they would like to speak.
Okay. Thank you. Move on to our next agenda item is public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda if they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, state your name on agenda items.
I just wanted to speak on the agenda item, our resolution 2024-21.
What's your name, please?
My name is Peter Gurney, and I'm speaking on behalf of LEPC. I'm the LEPC chairperson. so I just wanted to give some background information and why I feel it would be a good thing for council to support our request. So currently there's 20 local emergency planning committee districts in the state of Alaska, and the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands LEPC is one of them. We are based in Unalaska, and we consist of six communities. It's Unalaska, Atka, Adak, Nikolsky, St. Paul, and St. George. In the past, our committee was funded through the Local Emergency Planning Committee grant program. And that was every year that program would reward $15,000 to all of the LEPCs throughout the state individually. And that was helping the LEPCs to thrive at that time. Mm-hmm. And back in 2019, the governor of Alaska remove the funding for that program due to economic hardships within the state. And this left it to the municipalities to support their LEPCs. So after losing funding, the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands LEPC went dormant from late 2019 to mid-2023. And so during that time, we recognized the need for it. And over the last year, we've worked hard to bring LEPC back to our community. During this time, we volunteered many of our time and efforts, and some of the accomplishments we've achieved include the following. I'm not going to list everything, but a few. We've recruited successfully 33 members to the committee. We've developed a website, which we're just about to unveil, which is designed to be a one-stop shop for emergency preparedness in Unalaska. We helped spearhead an initiative to inform local businesses regarding their Tier 2 chemical reporting responsibilities. And this has helped improve compliance in that area. And we've also assisted and kind of spearheaded several grants for the City of Unalaska and for the school district to improve safety and security within their facilities. So that's just some of the things that we've done, and we've done all of that with no funding up to this point. So if funded, we will be able to create a more engaged membership and be able to accomplish more of our initiatives, which I think is important for this community. Our islands are located right on the Ring of Fire. It's a series of the most dangerous volcanoes in America, and an area prone to seismic events. We are also located right along the Aleutian Trench, which makes us vulnerable to tsunami events. Our island is also very isolated, as you all know, and with all of the hazards that we face based on our location, having a strong planning put together is really important and crucial for us. If funded, the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands LEPC can help create a more prepared community, which can save lives and property.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, sir. That's the only
phone or
no one on Zoom, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Next is our public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. There's a 3-minute time limit. Please come to the podium. State your name. The public hearing for the ordinance 2024-07, creating a budget amendment number 7 to fiscal year 2024, increasing the electric distribution operating budget by $350,000. To cover financial shortfalls of professional services agreement with Optimera Incorporated and electric admin budget of $130,000 for EPS consulting service is now open. We're now in public hearing. Does anyone wish to speak? City Clerk, were there written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No written comments and no one in Zoom.
Okay, thank you. The public hearing is now closed. 6:20. We are now on the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda item must sign up with the City Clerk. You have 3 minutes per person. First item on the regular agenda is item A, ordinance 2024-07, second reading, creating a budget amendment number 7 to the fiscal year 2024, increasing the electrical distribution operating budget by $350,000 to cover financial shortfalls of professional services agreement with Optimera Incorporated and the electric admin budget of $130,000 for EPS consulting services. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2024-07.
Move to adopt Ordinance 2024-07.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the City Manager at this time.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. As just stated, this budget amendment number 7 totals $480,000, and it will take money from the Electric Proprietary Fund allocated to the electric distribution operations and admin budgets to cover our Optimera contract as well as the EPS contract for work we're having done to study our power needs. Recommend approval. The memorandum was brought forth by our utilities department.
Okay, thank you. Council discussion at this time. Council? No discussion? Okay, I'll, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up for this item.
Thank you. This time, restate the motion. The motion is to adopt Ordinance 2024-07, second reading, creating a budget amendment number 7 to fiscal year 2024, increasing electric distribution operating budget by $350,000 to cover financial shortfall of professional service agreement with Optimera Incorporated and the electric admin budget of $130,000 for EPS consulting services. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote, and with this vote, the council has adopted Ordinance 2024-07 on a vote of 5 yes, 0 nays. Next item is Resolution 2024-20, certifying the 2024 real estate personal property tax rolls. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2024-07?
I move to adopt Resolution 2024-20.
Moved by Councilman Tungle.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the City Manager for introduction.
Well, thank you, Mayor. This request, in summary, has been presented by our City Clerk, S. Carlin, to my left. I'm going to have her introduce it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Homka. Good evening, Mayor and Council. So, Council certification of the tax roll is one step in our property tax cycle, and we do this each year and is required by our code of ordinances. Certification of the tax roll is done following the appeal process and the Board of Equalization hearing, if there is one. And as you know, there's we don't have one for this year because the appeals have been withdrawn. The total taxable real property and personal property this year is $855,923,787, which is about 2.9% increase over last year's taxable value. And at the mill rate of 10.5, and if 100% collected, the city can expect to receive property tax revenue of $8,987,200 for fiscal year 2025. The staff memo contains additional information, and I'm happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you, City Clerk. Councilman, Council, any questions or comments? Councilman Tonko.
So the increase in total of that $855 million is that for improvement or development of some properties, or
That's the total taxable for both real property and personal property. So on the graph, you'll see there, Councilmember Tungle, last year, the total amount that was taxable was $838,435,188. This year, our total taxable is $855,923,787. So that's a difference of $17,488,599. So you'll see this one broken down. For business personal property, there's an increase of $4,292,590 from last year. And for real property, there was an increase of $14,290,100.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman Tango. Any further discussion? City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No one, sir.
I'll restate the motion to adopt Resolution 2024-20, certifying the 2024 real estate and personal property tax rolls. I'll request a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Thank you. And with this vote, the Council has adopted Resolution 2024-20. The next item is Resolution 2024-21, authorizing financial support of the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Local Emergency Planning Committee, LEPC, in the amount of $15,000 with funding from the 2024 Council Sponsorship Budget. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2024-21.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 2024-21.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to the City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you heard testimony just a little while earlier, this was brought forth by Mr. Peter Gurney, who chairs our Local Emergency Planning Committee, and the $15,000 request would be put to good use, and you have it in your council sponsorships budget.
Thank you. Council discussion at this time. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this. I sponsored this resolution. So as you guys may be aware, I'm the council representative on the LEPC. And so I've been attending the meetings, and it just kind of came to light that basically they're kind of out of funding for this. And like anything, even though it's volunteer, it does take money to run these things and these programs. And it is a regulatory base. Federal and state law requires that these areas do have an LEPC. And we've always had them in the past, but it did kind of go a little lax here. I'm not too sure why, but I have been to the ones several years ago. They do serve the community. And like I said, the funding source has changed. And so, yes, we are not the only community that it serves, but I think that we're the prominent one. And so I think it is our responsibility in a way that we make sure that this committee is viable and it serves all the Aleutians and Pribilof Islands to the best of its ability. So, like I said, I did sponsor this. We put it forward. I'm not the expert on this, so I think if the mayor does allow, if you have questions that I'm sure I won't be able to answer, maybe we can ask Mr. Gurney to help fill the gap. So
I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Well, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Tungo has a question for you.
The industries are part of, or are they a member of this? There's some industry member on this. I think there is, as I remember, right?
Did you say industry?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our members is here, Wayne Jackson. He's the terminal manager for Delta Western. And we have Mattson here is represented. We have CMA, we have Unicy, Westward, Alieska. We have a lot of local stakeholders, and everyone's in all of our meetings, actually. We've had 7 of them so far, and we've had between 15 and 24 people at all of them. So there's been a good showing, and people really want to participate and believe in it. And I think it's been a great chance to kind of get people from different parts of the community together and thinking about all of these different hazards that we face and making connections. So when something happens, we're able to, I just need to call this person. They've got his number and they know, and we've kind of talked it over and made some good connections.
So we got a thing in place if a worst scenario happen. You got a something in place if a worst scenario happen.
That's what we're working on. That's our goal. Our goal is community outreach and coming up with emergency plans for different scenarios. Like one that we're working on now is a hazardous materials emergency plan. And it's about combining the public and private partnership so we can kind of work together to make the best possible plan for the whole community.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Ruby?
So is this the only financial aid that you guys basically will have? That's the first question, and then...
Currently, yes, this would be the only one. We don't have any financial funding at this point.
Okay, and then so the second question, is it an association or, I mean, so somehow are you a nonprofit? Do you have nonprofit status or is it under the city government? How is your financial, I mean, if this is going to be your financial, you have to have a bank account, right? Mm-hmm. You have to wait to account for it. I'm just kind of curious what the structure of it is. And, you know, if like a nonprofit would have to do a 990 for, you know, to report their stuff. So there's rules that go with that kind of stuff. And I'm just curious where you guys are at with that.
So currently the LEPC handbook lists the LEPCs as nonprofit in nature. There isn't any 501c3 LEPCs at this time, but we're looking to see if we can actually make that possible. It's something I brought up in our LEPC association meeting in Anchorage. And I know that about 5 of the LEPCs that were doing the most and most successful, they were run by their emergency management office, like Anchorage, Juneau, Kenai, and a few others. So they had a budget for it through that, and they were able to really make it succeed. And the emergency management director was kind of overseeing it as part of their job responsibilities. And then a lot of the other ones they had that just didn't have anything in place. They had no funding. And they had a chairperson because they're required to have one, but they hadn't had meetings in the past year, and they were just inactive. So from that standpoint, we've put together a good framework here, and we've been active. We just haven't had the funding to make all of our, accomplish everything we'd like to at this time.
Okay, yeah. I just want to make sure that, you know, you're set up financially to accept money. That's the only thing. And so
My plan is, if this goes through, we would create a bank account at KeyBank. I'm new to, I did do something similar with a pet rescue years ago, so I'm familiar with it. So I'm comfortable with that.
I believe these are quasi-governmental entities, so I think they'll draw money through the city.
Okay, great, because that's what I know that there's different things.
They'll have a line item, basically, that will, they'll draw the money through that.
Okay, great. That's the big question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions? The local emergency planning committee I was familiar with when I was living in Ada. It was required because it was a federal base, federal facility. So I'm glad to hear that ADAC is part of this system yet, even though they're no longer Navy. Okay.
We started out building it back up in Unalaska, and then now, since we've got a solid framework in place, we're reaching out to the other communities. So we've got the city manager for ADAC, we've got a VPSO for ATCA, and we've got a VPSO for St. Paul. And we're just trying to share resources with them so that they're in the loop, and we can try to make them prepared as well.
Yeah, thank you. All right, any further comments from council? Councilman Tunkel.
I think this is an important, I want to see this succeed. We are a number one fishing port, and we got a lot of traffic in our backyard, because that's part of it. If anything happened, we got to be ready. I think that this will go, I hope it'll succeed, and I'll be in full support of this. This is pretty important to be to have readiness on anything that will happen in this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Any further comments from council? All right, thank you. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
Well, thank you. I'll restate the motion to adopt Resolution 2024-21 authorizing financial support for the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Local Emergency Planning Committee in the amount of $15,000 with funding from FY24 Council sponsorship budget. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Thank you. With this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2024-21 on a vote of 5 yeas and 0 nays. Next item is D, which is Ordinance 2024-08, adopting fiscal year 2025 operating and capital budget. We have a motion to introduce Ordinance 2024-08 and schedule for it for public hearing and second reading on June 11, 2024.
I move to introduce Ordinance 2024-08 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 11, 2024.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Longo. I'll turn this over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So we've been working to prepare the budget and presented draft budgets to you. I think most recently, the CMMP was adopted on May 14th. We've also adopted the school support and community grants on April 23rd. There have been some changes since the last presentation. You can see those under the discussion by range by department, including finance, police, the electric fund, and the facilities maintenance. For example, some of those were presented to you in terms of you know, position changes, et cetera. So I'm very happy that we were able to meet council's goals. I think the staff worked really hard to put this budget together. I'd be happy to facilitate answers to any questions that you have at this time.
Great. Thank you, City Manager. At this time, we'll have any council discussion? Councilman Bell?
Sure, I'll kick this off. I got a few notes here, and let me see if I can go through these. I don't really have many questions about the budget, per se, other than the first thing I did want to talk about is in the future is streamlining this process and seeing if there's efficiencies that we can build into this to make it a little bit easier process over this whole budget period, looking through the CMMP and revenues and the budget itself. I was having a hard time kind of picking out some of the stuff that I was needed, you know, to look at through this budget process. And I was down to making my own spreadsheet in order to organize stuff here. The immediate thought came to mind that, hey, if I'm also going to make a spreadsheet, then there's some inefficiencies here or other ways that we can present some of this information so that we get a better picture all around. There was a couple things that I did want to note on there as far as details. And one of them was looking at the electric proprietary fund there. And we're showing a deficit where we're looking at appropriations out of the net assets. And as part of this budget process, we had talked about adding another position to the that would be funded through the electric fund. It doesn't seem like a wise idea to add expenses to a fund that is its expenses exceed its revenues. So that was one of my comments. I did notice that there was some of the presentation that was done in the work session and what was presented here as this. There was a couple things, and this kind of goes back to finding stuff and making stuff easy to find. Was in the draft presentation, there was a line item of $400,000 out of as a transfer or whatever it was. But the point to that is not necessarily the money, but what working backwards to try and figure out where that money come from, because it wasn't in the draft in the work session. It's just being able to find those line items easily and identify them because they weren't easy to find. Did find where they came out of certain funds. But that goes back to the whole process of, you know, making this a little bit easier to understand or to when we're looking for particular details to be able to go back through there. I had two computers up with 8 tabs open on each one, trying to find different line items in different meetings to try and answer some of those questions. And as part of that, and I'll, you know, I'll listen to the rest of the council here and kind of get the pulse on where we're at. And it's maybe by next meeting is maybe having some kind of directive to the city manager to, you know, present something down the road as far as, you know, ways to improve the process. Other than that, there was just a few details in there that kind of stood out. I did notice that this year, as opposed to last year, there was no detail of personnel expenses. And also the other thing that I did want to point out, and I'm not sure if there's any, you know, if it raised any other yellow flags with any of the other counselors, is the fact of moving some of these studies into line items in the budget. Whether that's a good idea or not, I can see this path down the road where we have turnover in staff or in council and all that stuff, and we start putting these studies into the budget itself instead of part of the CMMP processes where a lot of times those have been or they've been separate budget amendments. Is that they kind of get lost in the whole mix of the budget. I understand that we need a lot of these studies. I mean, we're doing a large amount of studies, you know, 1.5 million, I think, is what it looks like over the next, you know, year or two. So just having those into the budget, I just don't want them to get lost. And then we are looking down the road and think that you know, that is what the budget should be because we've got these other items in there. So if we can get some other input on that, that'd be great. But I think that's all I've got for right now. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. For the council comments, Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. I'll just follow up on that last note. So other professional services, it kind of struck a chord with me as I was going through these by each budget, by each department in each section. I guess so my big question is, other fairly broad term, what generally do we see when we put things under other professional services?
Well, as I look under what the operating accounts basically are saying, I mean, a lot of times we have legal services are called out, engineering services are called out, but each department has different peculiarities about things that they may hire. And so the other is just kind of a catch-all for that. And I guess we'd have to ask under which one, if you'd like an example of what we fund those with, be happy to give you a list of those.
Okay, because I'm kind of wondering, I'm moving to, is this where people are putting these studies? Okay, so case in point, there's quite a few departments that have a large budget, and they budget it, but each year they're not used. So I know that previous times, if they're not being used, it goes back down to something. I mean, a lot of times you have something planned, and so you're like, okay, I need a budget for this. There are some placeholders in here in some of these departments that it's several thousand dollars that's not getting used each year. So my question is, you know, why, how important is that general item to keep, just food for thought? Okay. So, and like I said, when I was going through these, I was going through each department. But then case in point, and this is not just some of those are proprietary, some of those in general fund. But case in point about big changes this fiscal year. So police, $150,000 increase. So my question is, what in professional services are we looking at that's going to be $150,000 over any previous budgets? Is this the policy and procedures thing that you guys were looking to do? Or
what? I mean, we're looking for that kind of work. I can ask the chief if you'd like to come up.
I would like to know specifically what is going to cost $150,000 extra specifically for this fiscal year.
Chief?
I don't know that I can speak to the whole $150,000, but we're doing a rework on our policies and procedures because many of them are still from when we were police and fire together, and it calls for the director to do this and basically the police chief to do this and the fire chief to do this. There are some of them that are completely outdated that we shouldn't be doing, others that we should be doing that aren't there. So we were looking for some professional help to do that, which is very expensive because we have to have somebody that knows Alaska law, for one, to make sure that we're covered liability wise, but also that we cover training issues and things like that. So we did kind of a preliminary guess of that, and I wasn't comfortable with that. So we went out and started talking to some folks and got somebody that said, yeah, you're looking at a significant amount of money, over $80,000, just to do a complete rewrite. We don't have those kind of services in-house, so those are going to have to be done outside. So that I can say for one, that that's specifically what that is. To be honest with you, there to the 150, that increase, I don't specifically know without going back and digging through notes.
Okay. Thank you. And the other one, well, there's a couple here. If you bear with me. So fire and EMS, $300,000 extra. Is that the building study? I mean, is that where that's getting lumped in?
Chief Knowles, can you come to the podium, please?
That's correct. The $300,000 is the feasibility study.
Yeah. So, I noticed, like, even proprietary, and I'm not going to nitpick here on this, you know, electric, wastewater, solid, those are all going up with professional services. So I don't know if it, so I guess it kind of goes back to Mr. Bell's comment, is some of these things that are these studies, I if they're not planned to being used, I don't know why we're budgeting for them, I guess is. Or, and if we're going to be planned to use, what are they budgeting for? And is this the place for it? So I guess it's the point of conversation. And because I know that, you know, I guess have it one way or the other, because if you budget for it, and then next year, are you going to expect that same budget, even though you don't have anything planned? So it's just a planning thing. And in my head, so which, you know, which way is it going to be?
Councilman Coleman, if I may direct you and the other council members to look up, city clerk has pulled over that particular budget item for your review. That's for the police. You can pull up all the others if you like.
Yeah. And the camera placements are going under. Wait, that's a different.
Those would be the body camera.
Is that the, but this profession, that's going under professional services?
I'm sure it should be equipment.
Just equipment. That's professional services? Okay. I said, I don't want to take up, it's a question as to, you know, what this category is entailing, and, you know, because why would that go under professional services? So anyway, maybe we can have a answer later.
Sure.
It seems like that would be equipment. So, anyway, maybe there just needs to be training on it. Maybe you got to have a professional come out here and for $50,000 tell you how to use a camera. So if that's the case, let's be transparent about that. So, okay. One other thing. Okay, housing. All right, that's the very last page. That means I'm towards the end. Housing, okay. So, Who manages the housing proprietary fund?
Right now, housing is a function of the administration department.
Okay. And so the rent, and who determines the rent on those? How is that determined?
That would be a rent study that we are near completing. The rents have not gone up in a long time.
Okay.
And so we're anticipating an increase.
Right. I mean, actually, you're seeing a decrease here. Is that from previous budgeted amounts? From the 2022.
Please tell me what page you're on.
Sorry, the very last one, 162. So
thank you.
Packet number. So draft budget is 248. The in 2022 is 258. So, I mean, are we just not expecting the housing to be filled up? Maybe that was, I guess, we'll wait on. I know there's been discussing about dealing with housing section a little differently
mm-hmm.
in the future. So, I don't know. I just was curious about the rent and why it would be decrease since 2022. So maybe when we have a new study, we will know where that should be going. So the actual in FY 2022 is 258, and then the draft budget is 248.
No.
Am I not reading that right? Okay. Yes. So anyway, yeah,
The actual would. Yeah, the actuals are probably lower, certainly because we had in 2023 there were like 6 units that were not right. even in leased. I don't really can't explain it off, so right. Look into that.
Just so the rate study, I so my thing is like the I'd like to see the housing proprietary fund get a little bit of a renovation. And So this isn't quite the financial pit that it's turning into be. So hopefully with the study, that'll help. That's just a question. So
there's, I mean, you could go through, some of this has been done the same way it has been done for a long time. And I would say that you could probably cut into a lot of this and pick a lot of it apart. So we're trying to take it sort of one kind of step at a time and what leads to the next. I mean, I think when you're talking about how to streamline or renew the process, you see everything in front of you. It's not going to be easy. There's some other concepts that involve some trust. I think it would be nice to have one or two of you on a committee to help instead of saving the questions for these meetings, and you'd be able to help answer those. Another concept is to actually budget for a grant match so that when we're trying to get a grant, we don't have to do two readings to move money and that sort of thing, and we can report what we use it for. There are a lot of things that contemporary places do. It's a lot of opportunity there. So I'd like to actually sit down with you all and see what items you'd like to attack in what order. And that would be more like a financial plan. I think I talked with some of you about, we don't have a financial plan. We don't have a sustainability plan, for example. So there's a lot of work to be done. And I'd really rather encourage us all to work together on that.
Further questions? Councilman Luby?
So going back to studies, do we need all those studies? I mean, are we wasting money on some studies, do you think? Like, well,
give me some examples, Councilman.
The one for the police department, do we need a study to see if we need rotational? I mean, how is that study? What kind of study is that? What would it do to help us? Or is that a waste of money? Could we not figure that out for ourselves? I guess there's just some studies that I think that maybe we don't need to spend the money on, but we can make that decision ourselves. But anyway,
I think that particular inquiry, it involves a broader look at the spectrum of what law enforcement is doing. The lower 48 more connected communities, rotational service is not as expensive as it would be flying someone here every 2 weeks. And then what does that do for the rest of the staff that's here? I thought it was more like kind of a rental cop sort of a thing, but it's not. So I think some of these involve some expertise, whereas other studies we can do in-house. The rent study, for example, and why that hasn't been done until now. So we are trying to bifurcate what ones we can do, what our capacity is in-house, and then what ones we really want to fund. And I think, honestly, given the state of where we are and where we've been, we probably can't waste enough money to sort some things out.
Right. And I don't disagree that, you know, I like the, I've said it before, even about the rotational, you know, positions, and it doesn't have to just be police officers. That works well in this community a lot of times. There's a lot of different businesses here that do rotational, and I think it works well for a lot of people, you know, a lot of companies in order to retain staff or to have staff. I'm not against that. I'm just wondering, you know, it goes more to the studies, and do we need a study to decide that maybe we should do that? Maybe we shouldn't do that. That's all I'm, you know, it's more the, sometimes I think studies are a waste of money, I guess. And sometimes they're not. And so that's just part of it. And I do feel like this, you know, the studies are going to get lost a little bit as well, because if we're going to do a study, say, on the fire, you know, with the fire department and, you know, the building for that, we're going to spend money on that. But then, you know, do we need to do a study for that? I don't know. You know, is that something, why do we need to do a study to decide if we need to build a new fire station? You know, those are questions to come up, but those are things that I would, you know, ask myself. But once you spend that money on the study, now it's like, okay, if we don't move forward, we just wasted that money. So I don't know. Some studies I think are just a waste of money, but that's just a comment that I have. So, but I just need to make a note in this resolution. It says the effective date's the 25th, so we need to change that date. That's all. That's just a typo, not a big deal. Because it says it's not due for another year. You guys would be hard put to get paid for a whole year. Or wait. But that's all I had. Other than that, you know, I think that we do need to put a committee together, financial committee. Let's work on it. Let's make it better. I think that we've all been struggling with this from staff to council. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good idea. So that's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Comments? None. But Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I did want to address two other things here. And one of them is just a food for thought here. Looking when we were back in the financials there, we were looking like we're going to have a surplus in the budget for this fiscal year. And whether we want to, I don't know, just thinking about this is my thought was, is we have some pretty big projects, Captain's Bay Road in particular, is earmarking some of that surplus either in out of the general fund as part of that project or setting it aside, even transferring it to the 1% fund or something so that we put those surplus monies, they just don't end up in the general fund because a lot of times we don't know what the balance in the general fund or what dollars we can use out of the general fund unless we get into the CMMP process or, you know, look at that directly. But that's just a thought, doing something with that, those funds. The other thing I did want to direct to, and this was a conversation I had a little bit when we were talking about Title III, is merit increases for that are spelled out in Title III under 3.40.10. And I don't see that addressed or the, you know, any reports that may be required by the city manager as part of that process. Unfortunately, I don't have any internet, so I can't pull that. I don't have that code right in front of me. But it does talk about council approving monies for merit raises.
Pull up the three.
Or merit increases. Three, please. Yep.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're on to further discussion.
I've asked Ms. Carlin to pull up that Title III so that you can look at it. Mr. Bell and I did speak about this earlier, and I would 3.04. Yeah.
3.40.10, I think it is.
You make that bigger. I can't read it.
You got to read it. I don't remember the exact language of that. 3.40. Under the objectives of pay plan.
I think it's the first one. So in reviewing this with Mr. Bell earlier, I'm not certain, but it does look like I owe you some sort of a statement about where we are. And I was going to have not had a chance to go back and see what has been provided to you in the past. Of course, that's what I want to do and see what we've had before. So I'm not going to invent something new if we've already had one. Yeah. Is that the statement you're looking for there, Mr. Bell?
Yeah, in the sentence before it, the percentage amount of pay increases to be provided to any regular full-time employee whose performance merits an increase in pay shall be determined solely by the city council. Mm-hmm. So I guess we would just, are we, do we have a common interpretation of what this part of the ordinance means? And do we need to budget into personnel
a percentage for merit increases?
Well, I would say when we presented Title III, we presented what our plan was and that we weren't going to do merit increases. And when we adopted Title III, that wasn't called out. So I don't know, I can put another paragraph together reminding us of what we did for that and what our strategy was. And if you agree with that or if you don't, and if you'd like to do something different, you can direct me to do so.
Well, having it, going back and having some kind of history of what has been done, if I remember correctly, Title III has gotten 3% merit increases for, you know, for the previous years for multiple years. If I remember the information that was provided to council a couple of years ago. But it's just, it was spelled out in the conversation about the reclassifications and paying for Title III. If I remember correctly, it was a 3 or 3.5% COLA.
Correct.
Was what was presented to council. Obviously, a merit increase and a COLA have two different definitions.
Right. I'll have to go back and look, but Mr. Bell, I'm pretty certain that we said we were going to skip. I mean, some of these increases were $40,000 on jobs that are making 80 and 90. So I think that was our justification to you all, since you were moving Title III forward in passage, that since we haven't had that, it's not a particularly typical year as in previous. I mean, it was a whole pay plan that you adopted. But I mean, I can take another look at it and see, did it not meet the merits of what 3.40 is requiring? Are we losing something here in the translation?
It just is part of that whole process. It was one of these unexpected consequences that wasn't really addressed as part of that. And, you know, and I think maybe there might be a little bit of difference in perspective as far as the raises, that they were simply bringing those jobs up to market where they probably should have been from years ago. And so, you know, a merit increase may be justifiable. It merits some conversation and addressing this portion of title.
I'm sorry that didn't come up at the time. I mean, I thought we did try and cover what our plan was for not a merit based on the pay increases, that we would do a COLA, and then nothing was said to my knowledge. I mean, so where we're at now, I'm happy to look at it again for the second reading. But again, I think we beat that Title III to death over three meetings, and it didn't come up after we stated how we were going to move forward. So I'll take another look at it. We will do what you direct, but we're in the end of budgeting here, and it's some sad it just came to your attention, and I'll do what I can do to address your concerns.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I mean, just for the record, this particular item didn't necessarily come up, but the conversation of unintended consequences of not addressing the rest of Title III did come up. As a conversation. So thank you.
We'd like, as you talk, Councilman Bell, and also other council members have stated before, we're going to have a directive come out prior to the next second reading to exactly what you need to have and before the meeting. We have contract issues coming up, and this is all part of this whole process, and we need to make it clear where we're sitting. So I look forward to some directive to the city manager to get that information. Thanks. No further comments from the council. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one indicated that they wanted to.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion to adopt Ordinance 2024-08, adopting fiscal year 2025 operating and capital budget. Request a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yes, 0 nays. With this vote, the council has introduced Ordinance 2024-08 and scheduled for public hearing and second reading on June 11, 2024. Item 14 is council directives to the city manager. Are there any directives? If so, they need to be in a motion and seconded and a roll call vote. Hearing none. Community input and announcements. It's the final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. You have 3 minutes. Are there any further announcements? City clerk, are there written comments submitted or does anyone on Zoom?
There were no more written comments, sir, and no one in Zoom wanted to speak.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you all for attending and listening on the phone. Appreciate it. Having completed all items on the agenda, we are adjourned at, somebody read that, 7:31.
7:31.
Adjourned. Thank you. Good night, Unalaska.